This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. As we mark Black History Month on KMOX, we continue our look at proposals for reparations in the city of St. Louis. The recent St. Louis Reparations Commission report outlined a number of recommendations to correct historic inequities. Earlier this week, we looked at education. Today, we're going to look at housing. And I'm joined by Colin Gordon. Colin is chairman of the History Department at the University of Iowa and a member of the Reparations Commission. Thank you so much for taking time with us this morning.
It's a pleasure.
In St. Louis, I note that the commission documented the legacy of redlining, discriminatory lending practices, the destruction of Black neighborhoods. Where has that left Black families and Black communities today?
Well, I mean, I think there's really two lasting legacies. One of those is stark racial segregation and the disadvantages that go with that, because you know, we rely on housing to distribute a lot more than shelter. It distributes tax resources for schools. It distributes public goods and private goods as well. So, you know, whether you live in a well-resourced neighborhood or not makes a big difference to your life chances and opportunity. I think housing is especially fraught and important when we talk about reparations, because it's also the primary culprit in the creation of a racial wealth gap that sort of ripples across generations.
Let's talk about that wealth gap. You know, how do other communities build wealth through housing?
By other communities, you mean other...
Other than cities, minority but... communities.
Sure. So the big issue here is the sort of generational disadvantage that was created by the fact that in the first big boom and increase in home ownership, which was post-World War II, when the government heavily subsidized suburbanization and white flight, that those advantages flowed overwhelmingly to white families, that it was hard for a Black veteran to get a VA loan. And because of the prevalence of racial restrictions, it was hard for African-American families to take advantage of government programs. And even if they did, they were likely to run into local resentment from white homeowners, or discrimination from lenders and realtors.
Yesterday, we spoke with the head of the reparations movement in Evanston, Illinois, which was the first community in the United States to have a plan and start making reparations payments. They launched it with an initial focus on investing in housing in Evanston. When we look at the city of St. Louis, what type of resources do we need here to try to make that same kind of reinvestment in affordable housing and rebuild some of these communities?
That's a really big question. I mean, my approach to it is that there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. I mean, there's a lot of work that could be done to rehabilitate distressed neighborhoods, to bring properties up to code, to clear the title on properties so that people can apply for the tax credits that they're eligible for, And none of that is particularly expensive on a sort of residence by residence, family by family basis. And it has the advantage, I think, of stabilizing neighborhoods for the benefit of the people who live there, rather than gentrifying them for, you know, future populations with higher incomes.
Do you feel there's support in St. Louis for reparations tied to these kind of housing needs and services?
It's hard for me to answer that question. I mean, I'm not a St. Louis resident. I'm not an expert in sort of contemporary public opinion on these issues. You know, I think the support for large expenditures of public money is probably pretty soft. But my view of the housing situation is that rather than spend public money, that we should tap into private flows of capital by taxing higher end real estate transactions or attaching recording fees to real estate transactions, so that those who have have been advantaged in the housing market over generations pay the costs.
You mentioned services. You mentioned the financial aspect of this. What about laws and other regulations when it comes to, for example, landlord and tenant rights? How does that fall into this reparations picture?
Yeah, it's a good question because there's a lot of moving pieces here. A lot of times when we talk about the racial wealth gap in housing, the emphasis is on homeownership, which I think is a little bit misplaced because we should be supporting renters as well. I mean, people choose to rent for a variety of reasons because they don't have the down payment for a house or they're mobile. They want to put their resources elsewhere. And there, you know, it's a different sort of set of problems. There's one of the problems is the deep investments of private equity in rental properties, which are reducing the supply. Another is the weakness of tenant rights in most American settings as a result of state and local law. But also, you know, we've devolved most of our public housing policy to subsidies for private renting, what we call Section 8. And in most places in the country, the waiting list for Section 8 is 5, 8, 10 years long, or the waiting list is closed entirely. So even if our policies are in place to help renters, there's not necessarily supply locally that'll make that feasible.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What, when we talk about the supply of that affordable housing, I've heard about that for decades in the St. Louis area and in other markets where I've worked. How do we encourage development of affordable housing?
Well, it's sort of an uphill battle because so much of the land is zoned, you know, in the city and its suburbs for higher end housing. And it's difficult to unbuild what's been built and to say, well, the single family neighborhood should be, you know, apartment buildings, that sort of thing. There are a variety of tacks you can take. One is to adapt the zoning laws to allow infill development, building on alleys, doubling up on lots and that sort of thing. The city of Minneapolis, for example, has suspended any future single family zoning within the city limits in recognition of the role that played in putting housing beyond the cost of a lot of people of ordinary means. So I think it's a combination of, you know, changing the rules under which we distribute property, that is zoning, but also giving people a leg up in things like down payments.
When it comes to issues like urban decay, neglect, lack of green space, what are some easy or quick ways that we could have reparations in those areas?
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of quick solutions, because it's hard to put the money needed on the table to sort of reclaim a blighted area. But I think the strategy, it's a little bit in place in St. Louis and in other places, to do it incrementally. And so, one thing we've started to see in St. Louis, which I think is a good move, is to build out from what we might call anchor institutions. And so universities and hospitals and that sort of thing, sort of building out from their borders. I know Barnes Jewish, for example, has a very active program of neighborhood rehabilitation in the interest of, both more broadly the social determinants of health, but also in serving its own population of employees and patients. So I think sometimes you have to take small bites at the problem, which I think is both feasible, and it's also a good idea because, our history of taking big bites at the problem, tends to yield casinos and baseball stadiums and that sort of thing, which aren't much to the benefit of urban residents.
Colin Gordon, chairman of the History Department at the University of Iowa and a member of the Reparations Commission for St. Louis, thank you so much for your time on this morning.
Thank you.